I think those fundamentals serve well for the rest of the apprenticeship and the rest of their career.
When am I going to learn that? Or is someone ever going to show me this? It'll avoid that. We need to be collectively, as an industry, churning out much better and more hairdressers.
Hey, Salon CEO, Larissa here. Welcome to another episode of Salon Owners Collective podcast. And if you've ever felt unsure about if you should employ an apprentice or how to choose the right apprentice, or maybe you've even hired someone full of potential only to feel disappointed months later, then this episode is definitely for you. I'm chatting with Amanda Tonge. She's a former salon owner and now full-time educator of apprentices. If anyone knows what makes an apprentice thrive, it's definitely Amanda. So we're going to talk about what to look for in a high-performing apprentice right from the get-go, how to get them income generating really fast, and what you should do to ensure your training structure actually sets them up for long-term success. Trust me, if you want your juniors to grow into confident, profitable team members, then this is a must listen. Let's dive in. Hey, Amanda. Thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Pleased to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So first things first, I want everyone to know who you are, where you are, what do you do? How did you get to be doing what you're doing? Do you want to just give us the hard and fast, who is Amanda?
Yeah, sure. So, Amanda Tonge. So I'm a tutor at Whirirea in Welltec currently. I work with apprentices predominantly. And my path towards this job that I'm doing right now is that I used to own a salon. So used to be part of the Salon Owners Collective. Owned a salon a few years ago and had that for quite a while. Started it from scratch. And then when I got some arthritis in my hands, that became a little bit too much for me to work on the daily with clients, I decided to sell the salon. And then I went on to become the education manager for Janine at Maine when she had Maine, and stayed there for a little bit. And then, yeah, and here I am now with these apprentices for most of my week.
So for those that don't know, the tertiary education that you work at helps apprentices sit their qualifying and full-time course as well as block course throughout the 3 years of their apprenticeship. Is that true?
Correct. That's correct. Yeah. So all their theory, their practical assessments and all of that. So I'm based in Wellington, New Zealand. Yeah.
Amazing. Okay. Well, being that you are an apprentice training expert, because not only have you done that in your own salon, that was your primary role when you worked for Main Salon, which was a large format business, highly successful salon here in Wellington. And now you do it through a tertiary education. I feel like you're the best person to talk about how do we get the most out of our apprentices. So one of my questions, Amanda, is like, how do we recognize a high-performing apprentice? Like, what are the behaviors or the skills? Because I'm aware that part of the challenge to having good people that we can grow, teach, train, and then become great stylists is like we've got to pick the right people at the beginning. Because if we pick them wrong, what's the chances of getting them through 3 years of training and then becoming a great stylist in your salon? So like, how do we recognize those attributes, behaviors, and skills quite early on? What does that look like?
Yeah, well, we don't want that journey to be more difficult than it has to be, right? For them exactly. Or for us. Yeah. So I think if we start with a little bit of natural ability, if you can see that little bit of natural ability in the beginning, if they sort of flow with it and ease into the space and feel like they belong. So if there's that natural ability and natural affinity for the skills and the environment, et cetera, then I think that's probably one of the first things to look for. Another thing that I think that they really need is they have to show up. You know what I mean? Like they have to be there every day and show up. So show up with their actions, show up with their questions, show up with their words, their energy, their behaviors, and all that kind of thing. Like there's such a world of difference between people that just come to work and do their thing, but people that show up. So I really feel like that needs to be quite evident and around. And I think too, like an apprenticeship is such a small time in someone's life. like in the big picture, getting your qualification, it's a big thing, but it's a small amount of time. It's a small block of time. So I really feel like they need to be energized and motivated and really into it the whole way through their apprenticeship. So yeah, that's part of showing up for me. They need to be persistent and dedicated, because obviously it takes dedication and persistence, developing a skill, and dedication towards learning that skill and developing it. And I think that's really, really important as well. And I think too, like how they are with all clients. I think people in general, if you watch how they are with people, it tells you a lot about that person. So especially people where they may not get any benefit from, you know, how they treat children, how they treat old people, or how they treat people that may not be their people or the kind of skill that they're really into, but how they treat those people and work with those people. I think that says a lot about a person as well. And also, like, how they receive your feedback and your constructive criticism. So they need to be able to hear you correctly when you're talking to them and telling them how they can further develop what they need to do with that particular skill, or how they can make improvements. So they need to hear you correctly. So you know what I mean? How sometimes people hear, but they don't really hear. So they really need to, yeah, they need to hear correctly. And I would also say a team player, right? We all need someone who's a team player, because there's no I in team. Cheesy, but true. So they have to be a team player for sure. Yeah. So I think that would round that out for you. Yeah.
I feel like, you know, in the context of receiving someone who wants to become an apprentice, like whether it's an application or like I did at my apprenticeship, I've just walked into salons and handed out my CV. Like, you've got to have an eagle eye. And like the interview process is quite short, even if you make it lengthy, it's still a short amount of time that we get FaceTime with someone to make quite a big decision to take them on. And I think those are exactly the attributes that we need to be on our checklist. How do they interact? How do they show up? Because how they show up to that first interview, or how they show up on the first phone call, tells you everything that you need to know. And sometimes aren't the tangible things, do you know? They're the intangibles. And so I think those are the skills that you just listed are the things that we need to be looking right at the tippy top of the employment relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, from that moment that they step in and bring their CV, if they still, you know, if they choose to do it that way, which like you did, I love it when they bring in a CV. Like if they just send it online, you know, well, I can't see them. There's nothing there. I can't see any of their soft skills. I can't see anything or feel any energy or anything like that. So I love it when they bring in a CV. But if they bring it in and just dump it at the desk,
yeah,
no go.
It's kind of like a no straight away, right?
Yeah, like walk in like you've got the job already and look good and all the things that make you more appealing. Yeah, absolutely.
I think if they're going to apply online, which is like quite a normal way to do it now, like you've got to ask as a first test, send in a 3-minute video, like introduce yourself to me with a 3-minute video. Because one, if they can't do 3 minutes and it's 4 minutes or 1 minute, like first they're not listening, they're not following instructions. You want to see their face and their vibe and, you know, how are they going to show up? Because how they show up in video will be how they show up in real life, like when nobody's watching.
I love
that. And it's a good way to save time of going through the riffraff, because you can just look at the video and in 3 minutes you'll know whether or not that person's worth getting in person.
Yeah, absolutely. That is such a cool idea. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Saves a lot of hours, painful hours as a business owner. All right. So I believe that we should get our apprentices income generating really fast. There's a lot of reasons I believe in this. Amanda, because one, they've got no patience to wait for 3 years before I pick up a pair of scissors. Like those days are gone. So one, they want to feel like they're in momentum, and also they're expensive to have, you know, we just don't have the margin in business now to have people sweeping the floor for years on end. We as a business need to get them income generating fast. So what are some things that we can do as employers to ensure our apprentices like cover their wage really fast and make them income generating? What are your thoughts on that?
Definitely. So I think that if we think about monetizing them as fast as possible, right? So don't wait for them to have an enormous skill base before you put them on the floor. Like monetize them straight away. Yeah. So definitely start with things like promos and deals that directly relate to where they are right now. So if they're learning to blow wave, cool. Like monetize that. So do promos and deals at places where people or clients might be that might want a cheap blow wave. So promote them for blow waves at the old people's home, which is such a great learning base, right? Like bring in the old ladies, let them have a $10 blow wave, bring that money in and get that skill up, and then start working on who else can I get into blow wave? All your mum's friends or all your auntie's friends or your cousins or whatever. Bring in everyone that you can and just charge that minimal rate and get them bringing in that small amount to begin with. So I would try and monetize singular skills first. So whether it's practicing a set on an old person or practicing something that's a bit more fashion forward on a not so old person, or blow waving or hot tool styling on teenage girls, or anything that's a singular skill, if we can monetize that in a very low way initially, that's a really good start and helps them to focus on that single skill. So I think that would be a good way to start.
Hey, it's me again. I just wanted to interrupt and jump in here quickly to say thanks for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate you being here. Just one question though. If you are listening to this episode and thinking, oh my God, this is me, but I'm just not sure what to do, well, don't worry. I've got some strategies for you. The Salon Mastery Program will help you develop and implement 100K team, 100K mindset, strategies and steps designed to help you lead your team to enjoy 100K careers and install the 100K mindset and motivation so you can help build that inside of your team. The systems, the processes to master the 100K day so you can build the $1 million salon. So I want to invite you to join me for a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll discuss your business, your role in the business. Let's see if I'm the right person to help you grow your business and your team. Together, we can reach the $1 million mark. All you need to do is click the apply now button in the show notes of this very episode. You're welcome to book a time, a strategy call. We'll have a chat. All right, that's enough for me. Let's get back to the episode.
I think too, setting aside parts of the week where they may be able to do their own special clientele, no matter who it might be. So I used to do back in the day between 9 and 11 a.m. each weekday morning was half price, or that was the deal of the week or of the day, so to speak. And my apprentices would be able to do whatever they wanted that was at the level that they were at during that time frame for a special price. So there used to be repeat customers that would come in, and it was their own clientele in that space. And those repeat customers would keep going from apprentice to apprentice to apprentice because that suited their budget, suited their schedule. They liked helping the young ones. They felt like they were a part of a team or part of something. And it was a really good idea and it did really, really well. So something like that where they can develop their own little customer base or clientele is really good. And I think once they start getting their skill level up, if you have a tiered pricing structure so that you have an apprentice rate for particular skills, particular services, then that's a really good idea as well. So again, that captures the market where it could be students or people who are being budget conscious, which is definitely relevant in this day and age. Those types of people can come in and see that apprentice, knowing that they're overseen by the greater team, by the salon trainer, by the manager, et cetera. And then they'll be able to really develop that skill on those clients as well. So I think that's a really good idea. And then I think also something that's a really good idea is to group sets of skills together or sets of services together. So you know how when we use apprentices, they might put the colour on for Mary Jones, and then that Mary goes to see her senior stylist, and that's the way it is. And that's great. That's really, really good. But if we thought about grouping services together so that the apprentice can look after a whole client service by themselves. So I hope I'm explaining this well enough. But so what I mean is, you know, like Mary comes in and she gets her retouch and her blow wave done with the apprentice, and that all that money goes into that apprentice and towards their wages and towards the cost of having them in the salon. And we don't then have to look at our schedule and go, okay, so Mary will have a regrowth here with Tamsin, and then she's going to go over here and see Susan and have a blow wave. We're not, you know how it's a jigsaw puzzle when we're trying to fit everything in? So we don't have to create this jigsaw puzzle where everything has to fit. They actually can just slot in with Tamsin straight away. So I hope I've explained that idea well enough. But
there's nothing better than learning the whole skill, like right from this is how we seat them, this is how we get them ready for the colour, do the whole colour, do the blow wave. Like they've got to look after the client bookend. And I think that's super valuable when they're ready to be able to, you know, demonstrate that they can do that. I think that's really, really good. We did much like you, Amanda. We ran, we called it Academy. We opened an academy and had academy days. And those were the days that were like their open column for taking their own clients at whatever skill level that they were, because then clients knew that it was academy time and there were senior people overseeing the junior people. Like there was no, it was completely clear what it is, what it is. But they had autonomy over that time in their own columns and could behave like a fully fledged person, even though they weren't. So I'm a huge advocate for that. And can I say, I love the idea of still doing quote unquote the little old ladies, because gone are the days, like in our day, can I say that? Am I allowed to say that?
Yes.
In our day, Amanda, like we grew up on the round brush, blow wave and all of those basic skills. And I think we're the industry's at risk now of just we blast it out and get the irons and the hot tools. And so we don't have that fundamental skill. So if you can still teach that right from the get-go, I think those fundamentals serve well for the rest of the apprenticeship and the rest of their career. So I'm up for that for sure.
Yeah, and definitely too, like it's still in our qualification. So it's still something that has to be developed. So I think it's really important that we don't churn out one-trick ponies in our industry.
Yes,
I think it's really important that we have a broader understanding and a broader skill base. You never know when you're going to need it, right? And trends change and things change. So it's always good to have this library of things that you know how to do just in case. But yeah, I think it's really important that we bring in models for everything and we really practice everything so we can get across all those things that need to be passed for HITO as well, you know, for those practical assessments and all of that. We don't want to lose that. Yeah.
So in New Zealand, HITO is the qualification board. It's the hairdressing training organisation. So whatever the qualification board is for wherever you are. So Amanda, what's one thing that salons can do to improve their overall training, mentoring, you know, and the ability to grow apprentices? Like what's the thing that we, as an industry, we don't do well and we should do better?
I think that topic's enormous and I don't think I can put it into this little,
I'm asking you to one little box.
Well, I think we need to get better at it for sure. I think there are salons that are doing it incredibly well and there are salons that unfortunately are not doing it quite so well. We have to get better at it because our industry is just going to suffer, right? If we don't, we're really, you know, we all know there's not enough hairdressers to go around now. Like you look for staff and it's quite tricky to find the right staff. So we need to be collectively as an industry churning out much better and more hairdressers. So I have a few ideas on this topic. So, how long have you got? No, just kidding.
Hit us with it.
Hit you with it. So I think that start with choosing a salon trainer. So choose somebody on the team, doesn't have to be the owner, doesn't have to be the manager, but choose a salon trainer who's got a really wide skill base and can implement a training structure for the apprentice or apprentices that you have on the team. So appoint someone who's in charge of training, basically. So I think do that first and foremost. And then the second thing needs to be mark out a time every single week in the calendar that is specifically for training. So it can't be a time when the apprentice needs to run away to rinse off Mary or hold some foils or throw on a toner. It can't be that time. It has to be a rigid, structured time that they get given every single week to do their training. So I think that's really, really important. I think it should be non-negotiable. In a perfect world, it should be non-negotiable. Yeah. And then I think if that trainer can get, I would get like a yearly planner, and I would literally be jotting up onto the yearly planner what we're doing each week. And I think the advantage of that is that then the team knows what skills are being taught when, and they can help get models, or they can help suggest clients who might benefit from that. And it helps the student, the apprentice, to know what they're going to be doing when and for how long. And also it'll stop them from getting frustrated thinking, when's this coming up, or when's that coming up, or when am I going to learn that, or is someone ever going to show me this? It'll avoid that. So I think if you could plan it, even as simple as January is toners and hot tools, and February is all about blow waving, and you know, March is all about global globals, and then we're going to start foiling in April. You know, that might be a little bit too simple, but you know, like really, really, really structured. So I think that would be really good. And then another thing that I did when I was at Maine, which was, I really loved the idea and I thought it was really good for the apprentice and for the team, was created a skills sheet and put it on the back wall. And we would mark off each skill, where they were at with each skill, so that the team could then look at that and then they could go, right, okay, so Mary can actually, she can do a partial foil rinse now. So cool, I'm going to be able to get her to do that on clients. And then that way it can, not only does it track the progress for the apprentice and the team to see, but it, then it pushes them and gets them into doing those skills much sooner or much faster or more of, which is obviously more of is perfect. And they get utilized more and it's just beneficial all around. So I think that's a really good idea that that worked really, really well. I think too, like the apprentice needs to learn from different people. So whilst you would have a salon trainer or a person appointed to look after the training schedule, et cetera, I think if we identify our team's superpowers or strengths, so, you know, like Jane might be the foilage queen. So it's, we're going to make sure that Jane takes a foilage lesson for the apprentice, like really identifying everyone's superpower and using them. Yeah. I think as an apprentice, it's really great to learn from lots of different people if you can. And they are anyway, right? Because they're online. You know, they're on TikTok and Instagram and they're learning all these things. So I think like we never had that in our day, right? We used to watch Patrick Cameron videos and, you know, like which would still be relevant now and completely amazing. But they have such a wide variety of, such a big library of learning tools now that we never had. So they're amping, right? Because they're seeing this and they're amping to do it and they want to try it. So yeah, try and find out what they're watching and what they're really keen on and match that superpower to a team, you know, to the team member's superpower and let them go for it. Like definitely do that. I think too, like apprentices can't learn in the back room, right? So I really have quite a strong opinion on this. So if you can't teach your apprentice, or you don't have a salon trainer or a team member that can teach your apprentice, then don't actually take one on. So they have to become front room people, not back room people. Like they've got to get out from the back. And if there's too many tasks that are keeping them out the back, like I know they need to do towels, I know they need to do bowls, et cetera, but doesn't everyone, like it's everybody's job on the team, right? But if you can't teach them because you don't have the time or you haven't got the skills or the availability or whatever on your team, then take on an assistant. Don't take on an apprentice. So I think it's really cruel to hold someone back simply because you've employed the wrong person. Does that make sense?
For sure. So yeah. True and so fair and reasonable. And that is a responsibility as a business owner, I think, you know, to be clear about the role that you actually may need, but also what you've got capacity for.
Yeah, exactly. I love that word, capacity. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
This has been great. This is really good. Really, really good. I think, do you know, we've identified some of the key elements to look for before we take on an apprentice. We've looked at ways that we can get them income generating quick so they're not an expense. They're in their investment column, not the expense column. And we've talked about some taking responsibility on taking on an apprentice and how to improve that so you actually get them through the training and come out the other side and become an income generating team member. So I think this has been hugely valuable, Amanda. So what would you say is like a quote or a mantra that keeps you focused on point? Because this is your passion project as well as your career, Amanda. So tell us, what is your quote or your mantra?
Well, I've had a quote that's been my favorite for many, many, many years. Actually, it comes from Oprah, which I'm almost kind of embarrassed to admit. It's a bit cheesy, but it is surround yourself with people who will only lift you higher. So I think that's professional, personal, everywhere. That works for every part of your life. So if people around you are not going to lift you higher, then they don't deserve to be in your energy or in your space. Yeah.
I feel like it's, you know, as cheesy as it might be, it's super powerful.
Yeah.
Super powerful. Okay. What is a book or a podcast or some kind of resource that you've had your hands on recently that you think all salon owners should get their hands on?
Well, I love listening to podcasts. But a book I'm reading at the moment is The Let Them Fairy by Mel Robbins.
Yes. Is it probably good? I haven't read it.
I'm about halfway through it. I'm sure that there'll be so many people reading that book. It's the book of the moment, but it is really good. It's such a simple theory, but highly effective. Yeah. I'm looking forward to getting to the end of the book so I can be better at it. Yeah.
Good for you. I love that. All right, Amanda, I really appreciate your insights today. It's been super great. Where can people find you? Because I know they're going to want to find you, stalk you. Like, who are you, Amanda? Where can we find you?
Yeah, so I just have a little landing page on Instagram, AmandaTonge_HairEducator. I've just got that little page because I'm currently running apprentice workshops in Wellington. So I do these really cool free workshops for apprentices where we bring in master stylists and they can demonstrate skills that apprentices may not see in their own salons, or it may just be a little bit of an elevation of a skill that they're currently learning during their apprenticeship. So that's just a little landing page for that, and I do a little bit of private education. So yeah, that's where people can find me, just that little page there. Yeah,
love it. Well, thank you for your insights. Thank you for taking the time to come and hang out with us. It's been amazing. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And that's a wrap. I hope you got some massive value from today's chat with Amanda. If you're ready to build a dream team of high-performing stylists and apprentices that actually cover their own wage, then let's talk. You're very welcome to book a free strategy call with me. Together, we'll create a roadmap, help you grow your team, step out of the daily grind, and scale your business towards $1 million salon. We'll also see if Salon Mastery is the right fit for you. So all you need to do is to head to the link in the show notes of this episode, or just DM me. You know where to find me. And let's make your apprentice growth program a profit-driving machine. All right, that's a wrap from me. Ciao for now. Same time next week on the podcast.